If you need a title for this morning's lesson, we'll call it Access Denied. Access Denied. Now, it's very frustrating when you visit a website that you're a member of, but you haven't visited this website in a long time, and you can't remember the password. You keep typing these things in, and the thing keeps telling you Access Denied. You know, it's very sad that on the last day, on Judgment Day, when folks are standing there before the Lord Jesus Christ, and when it comes to them entering into the glories of heaven, the Lord Jesus will tell them, Access denied. The sad thing is, the majority of the human race will be denied access into the eternal heavens. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, I want to know how it is that I can be in that few. I want to be the few. I want to be one of the ones that gets to enter into eternal glory. Don't you? Wouldn't you like to be one of the few? Well, thankfully, the Bible tells us just who it is that is going to be denied access into heaven on the last day. Number one, those who are disobedient. Those who are disobedient will be denied access on the last day. Now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, the Apostle Paul pictured the Lord Jesus Christ being revealed from heaven with inflaming fire with these mighty angels. And we're told there that he would take vengeance upon those who do not know God and upon those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Watch this. From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And so those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, verse 8, they will be denied access into eternal glory. Now, my friend, despite what much of the religious world believes and what they teach and what they try to tell you, salvation is not by faith only. Oh yes, there are many verses in the Bible, in the New Testament, that tell us that one must have faith in order to be saved. But you're not going to find the word only there. They try to take us to John 3:16, which tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And they'll say, see, that verse only mentions faith. That's right. No one denies that. Everyone agrees that we must believe on the Lord Jesus in order to be saved. But that verse does not say anything about only. It doesn't say anything about faith only. Matter of fact, the only place you find that phrase in the entire Bible, faith only, is in James 2:24. And there James said, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Not by faith only. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, in talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And He became the author of eternal salvation to those who obey Him. Not to those who faith only Him, but to those who obey Him. To those He will give eternal salvation. Jesus stressed that those who would enter heaven would not be those who simply called on His name, verbally speaking, but it would be those who obeyed. In Matthew 7:21, He said very clearly, Not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father who is in heaven. So we must do His will. We must obey the gospel. It begins by hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. After one hears, one must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The Lord said in John 8:24, unless you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, one must be willing to repent of his sins, change his life. In Acts 2:38, those who had heard and believed, Peter commanded them to repent. Acts 17:30 tells us that God commands all men everywhere to repent. After hearing, believing, and repenting, one must be willing to confess his faith. Romans 10, 9 and 10, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But after doing these things, one must be willing to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and his commandment of baptism. The Lord himself said, Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, everyone agrees you can't be saved until your sins are gone. Well, how does our sins get gone? Well, in Acts 22, 16, Ananias told Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It's the point of baptism that God chose for the blood of Jesus Christ to connect with our sins and to wash them away. You must be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not want to have your access denied into the eternal glories of heaven on the last day. And so those who will be denied access in eternal joy include, number one, the disobedient. Number two, not only the disobedient, but also the dissident. The dissident. Now, the dissident person is one who disagrees with or opposes the authority of Jesus Christ. There are many in religion today practicing things that simply are not authorized in the gospel of our Lord. There are those who transgress the doctrine of Christ and were told they do not have God. In 2 John verse 9, John says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now, if you don't have God, that means you're going to be lost. That means you're going to be denied access into eternal glory. And so God has given us the doctrine of Christ. It's found in the New Testament section of your Bible. We are to remain within that, and to go outside of that is to lose fellowship with God and with Christ. That's what John said. A church must not practice anything that does not have the Lord's stamp of approval. In Colossians 3:17, the apostle said, Paul said, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That doesn't mean just do whatever you want to do and stick Jesus' name on it. That's ridiculous. Some of the things I hear today, karate for Christ. What is that? Lemonade for the Lord. You're not going to find that stuff in the Bible. What it means is, whatever you do, you better have the Lord Jesus authority for it. That's what Paul meant there. There will be religious people on judgment who had done many good works. From man's standpoint, from man's point of view, the things they did were very religious and they were very helpful and they were very good. They did a lot of people a whole lot of good, and yet they were not authorized in the doctrine of Christ. Jesus gives this scene on the last day. He said, there are many who will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Oh yeah, they were religiously active. They were very zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ. So they thought they did many things that they thought were really good works. And Jesus said in verse 23, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Access denied. That word lawlessness in the Greek literally means one who acts as if there is no law. In other words, our law is the perfect law of liberty, James calls it. It is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel found in your New Testament. And we must practice our good works according to what is recorded there. Nothing more, nothing less. Or the Lord will say to us, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What about the church of which you are a member? Do they practice things not found in the New Testament? I'm not saying do they practice things that are really good and they seem really good and they seem to do a whole lot of good and they're really pretty and they're really beautiful. That's not my question. My question is, are they authorized in the New Testament? If not, beware. Because the Lord said, even religious people, people who had done many so-called good works will have their access denied into eternal glories on the last day. You know, it's very interesting. I went back once and I read a lot of the writings of some of these people who founded many of these denominations, John Calvin and and John Knox and Clark, and the list goes on. And every one of them opposed the use of mechanical instruments of music in worship. Isn't that interesting? Go back and investigate it for yourself. This is a modern thing. This is a modern innovation. And you know why they opposed it? Because they said there is no authority for it on the New Testament pages of inspiration. And they were exactly right. There's no authority for it. Even though it's a good work, even though it's pretty and beautiful, there's no authority for it in the New Testament. Access denied. Those who are disobedient. Those who are dissident. Number three. Access will be denied to those who are disregarding. There are those who disregard many of the worship services. Now in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, we're given a command. The command is not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some. That's a command, my friends. Going to church, as we call it, is not a choice, it is a command. Now, we ought to choose to go because we should love it. We want to be there. We know God is there. We know His people there. It shouldn't be like we're going out of duty. It ought to be because we want to go. We're going out of devotion. But nevertheless, we are commanded to go. We should never disregard the services of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should assemble when the saints assemble. There are others, they come to all the services and they live basically good moral lives, but they get disregard daily Bible study. Now in Acts 17:11, those folks were called noble-minded because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. Do you read your Bible every day, my friend? I know you've got a busy life. I know you're running here, you're running there, you have to do this, you have to do that. But are you making time to read the Word of God every day? Because without that, my friend, you cannot make it to heaven. If you disregard daily Bible study, you are going to be ignorant of the Word and the will of God, and Satan is going to bring you down. We've got to study the Word of God. And then there are some who disregard a good, strong, regular prayer life. Now in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that our entire life is a non-stop prayer. Paul's point there was habitual. He meant that we ought to pray all the time. We ought to have a regular prayer life. We need to be in communication with our Creator on a regular basis. We need to be thanking Him for the many wonderful ways that He has blessed us in life. We need to be going to Him on behalf of those who are our friends and those who are our brethren who have found themselves in difficult circumstances in life, whether it be sickness or accident or whether they're weak in the Lord. We need to be praying to the Lord Jesus Christ regularly. And there are many other works enjoined upon the child of God that we disregard, such as visiting the sick, feeding the hungry, showing hospitality, working an honest, good job, sharing the gospel with our friends and neighbors and co-workers, and the list just goes on and on and on and on and on. And those who disregard these works, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, that they will go away into everlasting punishment. When it comes to heaven, those who disregard their responsibility as children of God, the Lord Jesus will say to them on the last day, depart from me, I never knew you. Access denied, my friends. That's not what I want to hear on the last day. Is that what you want to hear? I want to hear my sweet Lord inviting me into the glories of heaven. Access denied to those who are disobedient, to those who are dissident, to those who are disregarding. Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and this message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. You can listen to hundreds of my sermons at our website, defendthegospel.com. We'd like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You would be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street, that's Murfreesboro Road in Smyrna, Tennessee. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.